Boy, you can't go wrong when you combine a song about the blood, the cross, and the resurrection. That just covers everything. We say amen and go home after that. That's awesome. Leviticus chapter 18. And the title of the message is God's Perfect Fire. And while you're finding your place there, you know Brother Bobby Creech has been a businessman a long time. And I shared with us Wednesday, but I was going to share it again this morning because you might need a laugh after what I'm about to preach. But I remember he was telling me the other day, he said a farmer's son went out and took a machete and chopped all the cows' tails off that were in the herd. And he came back in and he was proud of himself. He'd seen that done with dogs and all that, you know, and he came back in and said, Daddy, what do you think? His daddy went out and scratched his chin and said, Son, I'm going to have to wholesale all of these cows. Because you chopped off their tails. And he said, Well, why, Daddy? Why are you going to have to wholesale them? And Brother Bobby said, he said, because I can't retail them. And you can thank Brother Bobby for that. And Brother Don, I know you're probably watching. That's for you, brother. Leviticus chapter, I love preaching the word of God, and I love preaching the word of God verse by verse and chapter by chapter often, because nobody can grab and pick up their fingers and say, Brother Tim, you was preaching at me today because you knew something about my life. I've always tried to make a habit not to do that. And I've always liked to go through as much as possible the book of the Bible. We were in 17 last week and we came to 18, and my first inclination was, let's just jump over that one. And it is more relevant to our time than perhaps any other chapter in the Old Testament. And I'm afraid we can't just jump over anything. The Word of God is not a buffet that we can choose from and take what we want and leave what we don't. So Leviticus chapter 18, and I'm going to read a few verses, and then we'll talk about it. I will not read all the chapter. I'll leave you to do that at home. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, So once again, may I remind you, this is not what I think. Not what Brother Billy thinks. This isn't what our deacons think. This isn't what Moses thought. This is God. Verse number 2, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do. After doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, you shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. That means laws or lifestyles. Verse number 4. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother, shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now I'm going to stop with that one verse because he goes through an entire thing, and you'll find over and over again the term, you shall not uncover their nakedness. And the first point I want you to see, if you take notes, is the lifestyle of the lost. Nothing that we are seeing taking place in morality or immorality is new. The Word of God states in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. God goes through in this chapter and he tells Moses, I want you to tell them this. The word abomination that is used in this passage, it can be translated in our English words, the meaning of the Greek and the Hebrew and Aramaic and all that. Wouldn't have been Greek, but the Aramaic and Hebrew that it was in there comes out as a disgusting thing. And he labels all of these things and says, these are an abomination. They are disgusting to God. Now, when you read through here, the world has its own definitions of morals. we have allowed the church of God for too long, has borrowed morals from the world and brought them in the church house. And back when they said God out of school, we politely bowed out and didn't raise a stink. We didn't do like Charlie Kirk and debate politely in a spirit of love and tell the truth. And then it became, well, marriage is just a piece of paper. You don't need that. If you love one another, that's enough. And then it became the 60s about free love. And then back in the 90s and 80s and 90s, there was, well, we want to start normalizing the, then it was called one thing, but the, you know, it's now the LGBT, BZ, KXYZ, whatever it is. There's a new letter every day. And that was to be normal. And I want to make sure you understand we are not to hate people. We love people. I know people who are like that, that I respect, I talk with, but I still keep up with. But I cannot approve of their position. Because God says, and He labels all this stuff as a disgusting thing in God's sight. And I'm going to give you some things at the end that you can do about that. And what you can do. The lifestyle of the lost is not to be the lifestyle of the Christian. God in the book of 1 Peter says, you are to be a peculiar people, called out. The word ecclesia, church, literally means called out. You are to be different. You're not to be like them. God spells out in the very first institution that God created in the Bible was not the church. It was the home. But there was a lifestyle not only of the lost, but in our nation and in our world, the next thing that happened was a lifestyle of lust. And it doesn't matter if it's a shaven razor or if it's a couch or if it's a new car, advertisers use lust to sell it. Other countries, it's worse. I can remember being on some missions trips way back in the 90s in Mexico, and remember when you saw the billboards, you just had to look away because there was no censorship of that. And it's way worse than it was here. And many other nations are dealing with that, and they're also dealing with the repercussions of those decisions. The word, when it comes to nakedness here, it refers to the word in which it would be translated pudenda, and it implies shameful exposure, nudity, indecency, improper behavior, exposed or undefended. The first time that word was used, when it was when Shem, Ham, and Japheth, after the period of the ark, God's judgment on the world was gone. There was only just them left. And one of Noah's sons, Noah, got drunk. And by the way, nothing ever great comes out of anybody getting drunk. He got drunk and he went in and he did not. And many times I know we have to gloss it over in our maybe our kids' Sunday school classes, that was not him just going in and say, hey, I see Dad's naked, to be blunt. What he did was an immoral relationship with his father. And you say, well, that offends me. You shouldn't say that from the pulpit. Then please, by all means, go home and throw away your television and any internet device you have, because you're going to be offended real soon. That's what this word applies to, is any relationship that is immoral, that is wrong, that is not by God's standards. I want you to look real quickly to Isaiah chapter 14. And I'm going to show you where this all comes from. Back in the very beginning, God, the devil began in the Garden of Eden to put question marks where God put periods. Satan is a master of language. And I wasn't having a moment of silent prayer. I was trying to pick up my old man reading glasses so I could see this passage. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. I want you to see where all this comes from, where what we're dealing with today came from. Verse number 12 of chapter 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakest the nations? Now watch what he does. This is Lucifer, Satan. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne upon the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There are seven I wills that Satan describes, and God Almighty came in and said, you won't. And he kicked him out of heaven. But ever since that day, he has plagued man ever since the beginning of mankind. Man has been screaming out, and especially in our lifetime, I will do whatever I want. I don't care if it offends somebody. I don't care if God says it's wrong. If God says it's abomination. If God says it's disgusting. I will, I will, I will, I will. Do you know back in 99 or 2000, I think it was, the American Psychiatrist Association published an article in their American Psychiatric Magazine. That is the group who sets the standard for the nation in psychiatric care. And they had been researching, and they wrote an article claiming that pedophilia and incest was not necessarily harmful for children. That was in 1999. It wasn't just yesterday. Many of you were not even born yet. There was enough stink by James Dobson and many organizations against that organization that they went back, apologized, and retracted their statement and said, well, we just don't think it's always bad for people, but we still think there are some beneficial effects. And left it at that. You say, how awful was that? Where was God's people? That was a lifestyle of lust. You fast forward to the last 10 years. What is happening? I hope y'all realize we had a state, or maybe more than one, I'm not sure, where there was an open I can't even say the word, idiot, running for office in our country as an elected official who said his goal was to make that legal. Well, friends, I don't care if the White House, the Brown House, the Black House, the Yellow House, or whatever color it is, goes out and says it's legal. God says it ain't. It's disgusting. And I can tell them, I can love you as a person, but I am sorry, I have to disagree with your position. It's not right. And if that wasn't enough, what grew out of this, it's been allowed to run unchecked without any consequences, and parents stepped aside and said, we're going to let the state raise our children. And when the state started raising children, they began to indoctrinate them with this stuff. You realize we just had 38 people in our House of Representatives voted against the removal of all porn in our state schools in the state of North Carolina. They voted against that. Come election time, you need to find out who they were. It's published. And when all of that began to transpire, now what has happened? Now we have something that I think was, I'll be honest, before God, I thought, when they first came out this term, I thought they were talking about the little cute teddy bear things, the little stuffed animals they use. You know, they had that thing called Furby or something like that. But now there is the furries. Y'all familiar with that? That believe they're animals. You say, well, man, that's all new. I can't believe. Do you realize in this passage of Scripture, the Word of God tells them they are not to allow a person to have relations with a beast. Why in the world, over 2,000 years ago, when God had Moses pin these words down, would God the Holy Spirit have to say, now don't go out there and get married to a donkey or a cow? Come on. You would think that's common sense. But look at where we are today. God had to spell it out for us. And the lifestyle of lust has taken over our nation so much that we have allowed those, and it becomes a fire inside of them burning. The Bible actually labels it that. It says, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, even their ladies that they give up their natural use, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's in Romans chapter 1. And it becomes an evil burning fire. Klaus Beyer, and I've never met the person, had a 2018 publication that said this. Pedophilia is something that a person is born with, a sexual orientation like heterosexuality or homosexuality, and has no cure. And now there is a new term. I actually heard this term a couple of weeks ago in the news, and I said, what in the world? The new term and what they label them as back in 2018 in this publication was this. Oh, I am a pedophile or an incest person, whatever you want to say that is, but I am a non-offending pedophile. I'm sorry, that offends me. And that offends God. You are not a non-offender. You are offending a holy and righteous and just God where there was no, you put a question mark where God put a period. And pray tell, all those victims, those children, those innocent lives that you are taking advantage of, and they say, well, we're not actually doing that. We're just looking at them. Where did they get the kids? Come on. Are we that stupid? Are we that naive? And these people are living among us in our schools, in our county, right here. We're not talking about off in New York City somewhere. I mean, that, I don't know what in the world's happening up there. We might need to just build a fence, huh? I'm just teasing. We love New Yorkers too. I got a cousin who lives in Manhattan. I keep telling him he needs to get out, but he hadn't. He's a very, very strong Christian. But this, all of this stuff, God said it is an abomination, the lifestyle of the lost. And the Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse. You think about it. Can you watch a television show now without there being somebody of one of these orientations in it? You know, if enough of God's people would turn that mess off and tell them, you're not going to get your ratings because I ain't watching no more. I'm not going to that movie if it has it in it. They'd shut down because they are ruled by their pocketbook. If enough of you would check your investments and say, I'm not investing in a company that will promote pornography. I'm not investing in a company that will promote this. We'd shut them down pretty quickly. But it's got to be serious. We have got to feel this is important enough to take action on. Or it's going to get worse and worse. I mean, before you know it, they're going to be asking us to marry two dogs or something in here. And if we don't, well, we'll be considered hate mongers and you'll be slapped with a hate law speech. That actually went into effect already once and was repealed. That if you didn't marry any orientation, you would lose your right to preach. That was pushed for a long time. Thank God we finally got some sense about it and got a president who said we're not going to do that. And what that will mean is when that day comes, if I stand here and preach a message like this, I will be considered in violation of a crime because I'm speaking the truth. Truly, that bullet that hit Charlie was meant for a lot of us. There is one thing that Miss Beyer, I think it was a miss, has right. They are born with it. But it's not a disease. It is S-I-N. And they are born, every one of us are born broken. We are born into sin. We are born into this mess. And our nature has a lustful desire. The book of James says that. He says, we are led away by our own lust, and when we are drawn away, then I quoted it to you last week, sin, when it is conceived, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. And it brings forth a problem. We have people today who are on canes at a very young age because they're taking medicine to try to alter their hereditary state. The lifestyle of lust, and that's exactly what he is talking about in Leviticus 18 here. He told Israel, you are not to be like them. We're not to be like the world. Don't let your kids make Hollywood and the music filmmakers and the music makers. Don't let them be their heroes. Because what's going to happen is they're going to lead them astray, and eventually they are not going to lead them toward the things of God. People say, well, they're just innocent. They are to begin with, and then what happens? There's an agenda there. Believe me, this stuff is planned out. And when this lifestyle of lust takes over, Satan is so good at grammar, and he says, well, but I want you to tell you there's some good news, because there is a lifestyle of love that God created. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is an awesome example of that when he says, love suffereth, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave herself unseemly. It is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And he goes on to say, if I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I'm like a tinkling cymbal and a sounding brass. I'm nothing, though I give my body to be burned. Because God created a lifestyle of true love. Love asks, what can I give to my marriage partner? Lust says, what can I get from you? In the very beginning, it was not so. And even in the book of the Pharisees, they were trying to do whatever they wanted with marriage, however they wanted. And they asked Jesus, well, why did Moses say this? And he said, because of the hardness of your heart. Moses said this. He said, but from the beginning, it was not so. You say, who was that speaking? Jesus. In the very beginning, he said, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very beginning thing that was shot out was, well, question mark. Maybe he just put it in motion and evolution really happened. And when we can cheapen the human life, and when we can get people to believe they descended from a little amoeba somehow, some way, somewhere, we can't tell you how, where, or why, then there's a question mark. Well, if that's the case, then God's word must not be true. God set up a beautiful thing called marriage. You say, well, what about this fire that burns in people? They have desires, they have needs. And I hear that, yes, they do. God gave a great way for those needs to be fulfilled, and it's called getting married. Having a wife or a husband, the opposite of each. And then having kids and raising kids and loving one another, trying to work through things. That's what God intended. Is it always, there are times when things don't work out. Understand that. God's grace extends to every situation, no matter what it is. And I'm going to talk about that tonight in Psalms 51, restoring and resetting. But God gave a proper place for that fire to be. And a proper way. But we have allowed the industry, the devil pushing it through all that for so long. We did nothing, let them do it. We said, well, we'll just go to watch those movies and we'll support them a little bit. We don't agree with it, but we'll kind of get there. And we got desensitized over and over and over to where back in the day, you know, it was Rhett Taylor, was it? Was that his name? I forget his name now. Gone with the Wind, anyway. He used a four-letter word and people were outraged. He used one four-letter word. But now we're so desensitized to it that kids can't go to school without hearing a cuss word. And now we're so desensitized to this stuff of, well, I don't believe that I was born as a man. I don't believe I was born as a woman. And let me tell you this. They dig those bodies up after they've gone and they do a DNA test, you know what they're going to reveal? They cannot alter that because that was God born. There is laws of nature that God set up. One of the laws God set up was the law of marriage, the law of man and woman. And when you break those laws, bad things happen. I almost brought a ladder in here this morning. My wife said I shouldn't on a Sunday morning, so I listened. I might go get one. Somebody get me a ladder. Suppose we had a ladder in this. We have a big ladder in the back, though I think it's up in the shed now, that takes about four people to use. I have moved it by myself, but you have to really think it through if you're going to move it by yourself. And you bring that ladder in. That thing goes up to the very tippy top of that ceiling. There's some stuff up there for Judgment House. I shouldn't have told y'all that. Y'all be paying attention to that. Rest of the service. That we leave because we don't want to have to take it down. I remember Brother Barry Barber and Joe Barry. Barry was a little bit younger then because I remember him being at the tip top of one of those ladders and he had his legs like crisscrossed and he's up there with a drill with both hands. I was like, ain't no way I'm doing that. Now, I'll climb up there, but I got one hand around the ladder. My brain might tell my feet the wrong message and might say, you're tired, let go. And then my body would land on the ground due to my brain's stupidity. And I don't want that. I like me. Just the way I am. But suppose I brought that ladder in here. And suppose somebody came in and said, I don't identify as a human, which is not absurd anymore. People are doing it all the time. I think if I understood it correctly, the guy's friend that shot Charlie was supposedly changing into a female cat or something. And suppose this person comes in and says, I see that ladder there and I want you to know. And they had feathers all over their back, glued to their back. Had a beak glued on their mouth. Had a bag of bird feed hanging around their waist. They said, I don't identify as a human. I was not born a human. God made a mistake when he made me. And I'm a bird. And so they climb all the way to the top of that ladder and said, you see, I am a bird. I identify as a bird. God messed up. I was supposed to be a bird. And I came out with this. And they jump from the top of that ladder and land out there somewhere. You know what they're going to identify then? As a possum being ran over on the road. I have no idea where that came from. I did not plan to say that. Sorry. My wife doesn't either. Because they're not a bird. And there are, not only is there a law of nature that says you are born a man or a woman, there is a law of gravity that cannot be defied. And when that law is there, it's going to pull you straight to the ground. You ain't a bird. Period. And young people, I want you to listen close. When you go to school and when they tell you, you have to accept this and you have to treat this person, you respectfully say, I am sorry. I respect this person. I will even try to love this person. But that is against my belief, according to my belief. By the Word of God, I cannot believe that person is that. And you can't force it on me. There is a law called freedom of speech. You are in your rights to do that if you do it in a right manner and politely. And parents, if you're listening online, some of you online may be sending threats already. I don't know. We have to filter that thing today, y'all. And your little girl or your little boy comes up to you and says, "Daddy, I was born a boy, but I think that I'm a girl." Or, I was born a girl, but I think that I'm a boy." Parents, get some God-given backbone and look at them and say, period, you are not. Amen. He's putting a question mark where God put a period. And every time the devil puts a question mark, it never ends in anything but a disastrous exclamation point of ruin. There is a lifestyle that God gave. You train those young people by example to grow up, to love mommy and dad, the daddies that love each other, and show them the lifestyle of the Bible based on this book, because God in the very beginning said He made man and woman, and He made man to have a helpmeet and woman, not a person for him to boss around, but somebody that would walk through life together with him, and they would work together. And when you do that formula, you have strong homes, you have strong churches, you have strong nations. Because that's God's perfect fire. God does care about your needs. That's why He created ways to meet your needs. And He created a beautiful lifestyle of love. In fact, even in Ephesians, He said, I speak of a great mystery. And He likened the church to a marital relationship. He said, we can't explain it, but this is it. And He said, this is a wonderful thing. Saw a young girl yesterday on a post she posted on a social media site that was in our camps years ago. I'm feeling old now. I'm not as old as Hilton yet, though, so I'm not old. But I remember looking in that post, she posted a picture of her and her husband. Man, I just don't seem right, because she was like 11, you know, in her camps, 10, 11, 12, you know, something like that. And I remember, and she said, marriage is so sweet. And she gave a great thing about how her husband and her all were doing, and I said, give them 30 years. You know, they might get to the point like one husband and wife, I heard. They said, we never went to bed angry. Some nights we just stayed up and fought all night. It does happen, I'm afraid. If you got two humans, they're going to disagree. I don't even always agree with myself. But I saw that and I was really proud of that. She made a beautiful post and said, if you got a husband and you guys are getting along, love each other, hug them tight. Show the world that this is God's way. You know, I asked Mason to pull up a picture this morning. I thought y'all might need a picture of the fireplace one there, if you will. We have in our house we're living in now, so happy with it because we have lots of woods and we have a wood-burning fireplace and one of those little, I think it's called a ventilator or something, and when it gets to a certain temperature, that fan turns on and it blows that heat air. Not only do I always wanted to live in a house with a fireplace, but you got to remember, I grew up in South Georgia. About the only time you needed that was maybe 2 days a year. And here it's actually used. I mean, we love it. And it puts out that warm air and it heats the house. I mean, sometimes I've actually fallen asleep on the couch and had to be waking up to go to bed, you know, because I was sitting there enjoying the fireplace. You hear those crackles and you see that pretty fire. And my wallet loves it because the power bill's cheap when we run that. I mean, it's just a win-win all the way around. We have tons of wood. I figured it up, we might be about maybe 20-60 if I get all the down stuff chopped up, you know? Not even the live stuff we have in our little forest behind our house. And a fire can be so useful. We are sitting here with lights, part of which run on nuclear solar. Some of it's still burning coal. And that fire creates that energy. And I think there's only two warmths in the world that is the same. A fireplace and when you get out in a nice sunny day. You just can't replicate that, you know? The heat off of that fire coming off there and, you know, the fun of when you're standing around a bonfire roasting marshmallows and this side's hot, so you have to turn this side around and then this side's cold and it's just the never-ending cycle, you know, your rotisserie. Till you're fully done, you know? And it's beautiful. It is a beautiful thing when we do things God's way and we put a period where Satan puts a question mark. But you know what happens when you allow lust of the world to come into your life? You allow all of that stuff to take over. And we allow what we are seeing today, and they say, well, we're normal. They want you to think that that is normal and that you are stupid because you don't think that's normal. That you are not intelligent. And you're old-fashioned because you don't think, you think that a man and a woman is what gets married. That God ordained that. That He condones that. Well, have you ever seen, and show that next slide, this is what happens when you take fire out of a fireplace. You know what I see in that picture? Our homes and our nation. It is on fire with an ungodly, fleshly, lustful fire. But it doesn't have to be. Because God has a perfect fire. He created all this. Thank you, Mason. And you say, well, what can I do about it? One, you can stand up and you can say, no, I do not have to accept that. I appreciate you, respect your position. My position is this, and this is what I believe, and I will not bow to that. You say, well, I might lose my job. You might, but God will give you a better one. I promise you that. Seen it happen. We went that route too long now. You can stand up at school, young people. You can be saved because if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you say, well, that stuff doesn't look that bad. First thing you got to do is be saved. Second thing is you got to be in church serving. You got to get close to God. Then you got to pray every day to God, let me live a sanctified, holy life before Him, because it is a battleground out there. People hate you. The devil hates you. They would like to see all of this go down. They would love to see us close this church. But I got news for them. My Jesus said this. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I ain't never seen no gates be an offensive weapon. We're going to charge it. Let's stand, shall we, for a time of invitation. And Brother Linwood, I don't know what you and Miss Brenda want to do. A message like that, I'm not sure either. But I'd encourage you this morning as we have a time of invitation. Every one of us here is going to be affected by this in one way or another. Every one of us have family members in some of these things I mentioned. Maybe today would be a great day just to come down, and if your kids will go with you, go down and pray with them and just pray over them, pray and ask God to please help my family be strong. Maybe you have grandkids you want to come pray for this son. There's something about coming and just kneeling at this altar before God and just saying, God, please help us. Because I think we're at the point in America, all we can do is just scream out, God, help. Maybe you'd like to come down and pray for our teachers. Our teachers are so hand-tied right now, and they're trying to make a stand the best they can. And many of them are ridiculed for their belief and their position. In our county not long ago, one of the schools tried to threaten a young man that was leading, one of the principals threatened a young man that was leading a Bible club and said, you can't talk like that in school. You can't have your Bible in school. He didn't bow to that pressure. But that's what they told him. Says, Brother Lim, would you just sing a verse or two and whatever you need. If you need to come and pray with people, maybe you don't know Jesus. Now would be a great time. If you've been thinking about making this your church home, You may say, I'm not sure I want to join such a crazy place. But if you'd like to make this your church home, we'd love to welcome you. So you come this morning as God leads.